The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We're stepping into the book club right now. This is where I like to remind people the beauty of books. And that, you know, as much as we've got the technology and all of that, something about having a book in your hand and the smell of the papers, you know, grounds you a little more. So another lover of books is here inside the studio with me, Miss Janine R. Lutchman. She's a foreign language educator and published author from Trinidad and Tobago. She holds a Bachelor of Arts First Class Honours in Latin American Studies with minors in Spanish and Brazilian Studies, a postgraduate diploma in the history of the Portuguese Empire, and a Master of Science in Educational Leadership, Management, and Emerging Technologies. Her journey with Chinese began as an extracurricular activity during her undergraduate studies. Enchanted by the language, she immersed herself in its study, eventually becoming a passionate Chinese language educator. She has taught Chinese language and culture to learners of all ages and levels, inspiring many through her engaging teaching methods. Janine's short stories in Chinese appear in the Hong Kong-produced easy-to-read Chinese graded reader series. Well, that in a nutshell shows me that, you know, you are a language expert. I'm going to ask you how you got into Chinese first, but let's start with Portuguese and Spanish. What inspired you to learn these languages?
Well, because we had to learn Spanish in high school, I decided to continue with it past Form 3. Mm-hmm. And my interest in Portuguese came initially from football. Mm. You know, watching the Brazilian team play and wanting to understand what they would say in some of the interviews.
Right.
And also, I am very interested in Brazilian music, particularly music from Salvador, which is a city in the state of Bahia in Brazil. That's northeast Brazil. So all of that sparked my interest in actually pursuing and continuing to study Spanish and later pursuing Portuguese language.
And then Chinese.
Yes.
Because Chinese.
Yes. Mandarin in particular. Mm-hmm. It was by accident, kind of, how I ended up learning Chinese. Because a friend of mine studied Japanese or Italian. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine was like, oh, come, let's go study Chinese. I was like, oh, Chinese? Why? And then eventually I accompanied her to the class, and probably by the fourth or fifth weekend into the program, I was hooked.
Hooked, huh?
And I continued, and that would have been in 2011, so 2011 to now.
So, which means you could be on Netflix and look at the shows that are on Netflix in Chinese, not so much Korean.
Mm-hmm. And no, I don't know not Korean.
Right. So, without reading the subtitles.
I can understand quite a bit without the subtitles.
I admire you all, you know, and French and Spanish, probably, you know. But being multilingual is something that our children should be encouraged to be at this stage of modernization and the way the world is just enclosing on itself. You know, I know from your bio you are an educator in that. What are some of the tips to help people understand and to learn different languages?
I would say one of the first thing is have a plan. So know why you're studying the language, because that will keep you motivated. So if you want to learn a language because you want to understand like a Korean drama or Chinese drama, to understand J-pop music, keep that goal in mind and work towards, set a plan and work towards that particular goal. And actually take this step, because I think what happens with a lot of people is that they think it's unattainable. Mm-hmm. But you have to remember, you as well learned your mother tongue. You learned English. Mm-hmm. So it's...
And English seems to be the most complicated of all the languages on the planet.
I agree. I'm glad that I am. I always tell a lot of students, even some of the students who would enroll in the Chinese program that are not native English speakers, I really feel for you guys that have to learn English in a way that's a little bit different from how we learned it as natives. So I think, you know, just take this step. Just take this step, sign up for the language class, and, you know, it will open up a lot of doors. Because I didn't think I would gain anything from learning the languages that I did, but it led me to this point in my career and my life.
And then understanding language leads you to better understand culture. And I see that your latest book is about unearthing traditions, stories of language and culture, volume one, which means there are others to come.
Yes, there are others to come.
So tell us a little bit about that journey and what is the purpose of getting into culture?
Well, I think in general, like, language and culture causes you to have a leads you to have a deeper appreciation for other people, other traditions, other practices. And the whole idea behind this particular book is to educate the readers about, you know, there's a world out there that has a lot of very interesting cultural traditions that you may want to get to know. And that sometimes, you know, even when we have different cultures, we're not so different. We may have some shared similarities, right? So the book, in general, it's a collection of short stories based on the practices and traditions of 13 countries that we selected. And the contributing authors, they're all from the University of the West Indies. They're past students, current staff, and affiliates of the UWE. We also had a professor from Mozambique contribute an article as well.
So I think from what you just said, you want to bridge the gap of, you know, different cultures and trying to eliminate spaces that was been traditionally used to cause differences.
Yes, highlight the differences. I think we can celebrate the differences and appreciate each other more because of it. It shouldn't be used as something to kind of tear us apart or create problems.
And from the countries that are featured in this book, can you give us an idea of where the imagination will land?
Colombia, we have some stories from China, Portugal, Mozambique, Nigeria, just to name a few. And you can find, like, there are a few pieces that they're narrative pieces, so they tell you about some of the traditions in that particular country. But we also have a few reflective pieces. So it shows you how does a person interact with some of the cultural practices they would have encountered? What is their experience with them living in that particular society and navigating life there?
And what was it like for you opening up yourself to these experiences? Were you shocked? Because I know, because we don't understand certain practices and cultures, we tend to have these walls. Tell me, what was it like when you felt that, that didn't make any sense? Or where have I been? You know, tell me about that.
I think it was a very enlightening process because there were a few things that I didn't know about some of the countries. Even though some of the contributors, they have been my teachers, some are colleagues. You know, you get to know them a little bit more. You get to know about their backgrounds. So it was enlightening for me, a very eye-opening process.
She has this big smile on her face, like, you know, there's one in particular that I held on so tightly to. I think I'm going to bring that out for me in the right after the break, TNT. Tell me, in your own words, TNT, what are some of the walls that we just described that broke down for you when you decided to explore other cultures? We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Tune in to Betterments with Host Space. Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that educates and is solution-based. Space tackles the issues that matter to you, providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions. That's Betterments with Space, with a focus on education and resolution. This is all about making things better for you. You can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts and find solutions to the issues that matter to you. So if you want to make a difference and have your voice heard, tune into Freedom 106.5 FM and join us for Betterments with Bass Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Better for you. Only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters.
Need transport? Call Alpha Transport Limited. They transport and deliver everything from fragile packages and food to vehicles and industrial equipment. Alpha provides personalized trucking and hauling throughout Trinidad and overseas, utilizing flatbed trailers, 20 and 40 foot containers, semis, freight containers, dry and cold storage, step deck trailers, boats, and more. Get products you need without delay, even emergency services after hours. Call 654-1033 or 389-2289 or send an email to alphatransportlimited@gmail.com. Alpha Transport Limited. At Alpha, we're not just transport, we're about service.
Welcome back to ENT. I've got your word of the day today. It is brought to you by the Ministry of Planning, Economic Affairs and Development, and we're asking you to test your skills for some major bragging rights with this new segment. It's all about learning and, of course, a good dose of healthy competition. It's time for Can You Spell Like a 10-Year-Old? Right here on the TBC Radio Network, brought to you by the Ministry of Planning and Development and inspired by Spellbound, airing Mondays at 8 p.m. on CNC3. We're spelling words inspired by the Sustainable Development Goals. What are Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs? The United Nations Sustainable Development Goals are a set of 17 global goals adopted in 2015 to end poverty, protect the planet, and ensure peace and prosperity for all by 2030. We're challenging you to show what you've got as we take words associated with each global goal and ask you to spell them. So you can send that to 3061065. Let me let you know what the word of the day is, and the word is desertification. Desertification. I would love to hear from you how to spell that. It's from Goal 15, Life on Land. Desertification is the word. All right? So you could send in the message at 3061065, or you can call 625-2257, 627-3223. All right? And we're heading back into our conversation with our author in studio here as we talk about cultures, unearthing traditions, stories of language and culture. And this is the first one. And if you didn't hear her name is Janine Lachman. So welcome to you. So before the break, I was asking about an experience as you did your research on the book and experiencing cultures. What was that one wall that broke for you when you went beyond the prejudices of what you hear?
I would say just opening up to more cultures that I may not have looked at before. For example, we featured an article on Mozambique, which is a country I'm familiar with, but through its literature and having learned about it in my studies, but I never really focused on it. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot from meeting with the author of that piece and helping him craft the article. I also learned a lot about, Japanese society. I think many of us, we are exposed to Japanese culture a lot through cartoons, the anime. But being there in the country, it's different from seeing what you see on the television. And we have an article that was written by one of my Chinese language students. Her name is Joselle, and she wrote a piece, a very reflective piece, on her experience living in Japan. So it's a blend of a mix of, you know, positive experiences, getting to know a different culture, participating in festivals, meeting new people, but also dealing with things that are so vastly different from what she is accustomed to. Their systems, their way of doing things, their bureaucracy, and their work culture in general, which could be a little bit different from Trinidad, and just appreciating the differences while celebrating, you know, I still have some positive experiences while being here. You know, there's always good and bad.
I think as you said, it is a whole big difference between what you see on television and what you experience in real life. From what I see on these shows, and I appreciate how very particular they are.
Yes.
Very precise, you know. Even the way that they dress and the way that they keep clothing and that kind of thing. I love the idea of leaving your shoes outside.
Outside and using a different
one to come inside. Yes, leave those germs outside. So
I agree. I like their culture of politeness. I think that's something we can learn here a lot.
And how they treat their elders as well.
Yes.
Yeah. What would you think, well, in that vein too, besides, well, we touched on Chinese and Japanese culture, are there other things that, you know, we can pay attention to or wish we could adapt to Trinidad and Tobago culture?
I would say just some of the points we had just discussed. You know, treating each other with a lot more respect, being more conscious of others when we carry out our actions. You know, something like as simple as, you know, you're walking in City Gate in two different ways. But sometimes when you see in Asian societies, there's a specific order. So, and it's done in order to, you know, give courtesy to other persons, because there are people leaving and there are people coming into the
same
space.
Yeah, they will actually, like for example, the railway.
Yes.
They will wait until everybody comes out of the train rather than go in. But in New York,
they rush.
It's like it's a fight.
We can learn from each other while still respecting
each other's culture.
Yes.
Do you think on the flip side, if they came to Trinidad and Tobago, there would be things that they would love to adopt in their culture?
I would say probably our ability to really laugh off certain serious situations, just to be relaxed and more mellow, enjoy life. Because we here in Trinidad, and I think it's maybe a Caribbean thing, we are very easygoing people. So I think that may be something that, you know, some other cultures who don't usually have that kind of
freedom
characteristic. Yes, that too. In their society, they would find very refreshing here in Trinidad.
And in terms of children learning and adapting to cultures, do you think that this book would help open the experiences?
I think it can. You know, the book, the kids may not understand everything in it, but if you're guided by an adult, I think they may be more curious to know about certain countries and know that, you know, there are other things outside of Trinidad. Not that we can't appreciate what we have here, but it's always good to know about the world out there.
I remember a few years ago, well, being in school, there was a foreign student exchange program. Do they still do those things?
I am not sure. I remember participating in one when I was in high school for French, where some students from Martinique and Guadeloupe would come and stay with you for like a week or two. And that was always interesting because, you know, they're different personalities and they have to adapt to our customs and we have to adapt to to them. So that was a very interesting experience.
I remember they made a reality TV show out of it.
Really?
Yeah, so there were some British children who they thought were a little too spoiled.
Oh, I know.
So they sent them over to India to spend some time and to build a business, and they had to earn their way, earn their keep. And there was one girl who was very much into brand name and so on, and she got the reality check of seeing where all of these things were made and how you know, persons were either, you know, lived and how they were
and
paid.
And how they sacrificed to get to
that, while you thinking, oh, this is a old season bag. And I think experiences like that, if you can do that at least once or twice with your children, not the young ones obviously, but like high school to university, it really does show you other experiences that are out there in the world. And as you said, through your book as well, that it bridges gaps and helps us understand one another. I mean, the globe is slowly condensing on itself.
Yes.
So in terms of how you're bringing out that book, what are your plans for it? And I see volume one,
yes,
which means there will be another. Tell
us
about...
There will be a volume two. We are actually in the process of requesting submissions, open submissions for volume two. So, you know, if anybody is listening and they have a story to tell, their experience abroad, or even... some of the practices here in Trinidad and Tobago, because the book has three sections. One section deals with Americas and Europe, so the traditions associated with countries in those regions. The second one is Africa and Asia, and the third is Trinidad and Tobago and the world. So the Trinidad and Tobago and the world section, it contains stories about some of our traditions, as well as how some of our people interact with practices when they travel abroad. So I think it has something for everybody there. If you're interested in Asian culture, if you're interested in African culture, European culture, there's something for everybody.
Something for everyone
in the book.
As you said, traditions and making note of those stories, the oral tradition, in your space of understanding culture, what positioning has oral traditions affected your research or helped your research? And do you think we should pay more attention to those oral traditions?
I think so, because it's a practice that can be easily lost, especially if there is no one willing to continue the tradition. I'm working on an article, because I recently visited Cameroon, and I'm working on an article surrounding their storytelling, their oral storytelling, and comparing it to some of the practices we do here in Trinidad. I'm still working on the kinks of it and the plan, but I hope that I'll finish it in time to be included in the volume two.
It's a fascinating thing, the way they carry on those stories.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think you have to have a pretty good memory to be someone in the oral tradition.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you are the one responsible for storing all of that information. It's not recorded on a piece of paper. So you always have to choose your successor well. It has to be someone who is willing to... I wouldn't say a burden, but the responsibility
of holding those stories. And translating to television, because I see a small note here that you've done something for CCTV as well. Is she blushing? Yeah, tell us about that. How did that happen?
That was also very random. I got a text one day that CCTV is here and wants to interview you for a program that they have with... they interview persons across the globe who work closely with Chinese language and culture. And they just wanted to get an idea of how I ended up in the profession of teaching Chinese, given that my background was started off so different. And it was a fun process. The interviewer, She, I cannot remember where she's from in China, but she was based in Cuba at the time when she visited. I had a really nice time working with her on the interview. And yes, I think it it gave me a nice little boost that, okay, the career path that I chose, possibly is the right one for me.
And do you see yourself translating some of those stories on culture into pieces for television? You know, giving...
That never crossed my mind.
Well, right.
But
so
that is a
when you start,
idea.
You could, you know... Send me a little word.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, that's something even, to think about.
Yes, I think so. Even a nice little podcast might be nice to accompany some of these stories for the book because, you know, there's only so much you can tell in a 20-chapter book. You know, so I think it leaves room for more projects in the future.
And more projects indeed. Volume 1, Volume 2 coming up. So as soon as you get that together, you know where to find us at Freedom 106.5 FM to, you know, tell people that there are differences, yes, but ways to bridge them. I appreciate you coming in and talking to us about your book. Best of luck. By the way, for those who are interested in getting a copy, how do they do that?
So you can get a copy at the Center for Language Learning on the UWE St. Augustine campus. Mm-hmm. And the book is also available at Charon's Bookstore.
All right, Ms. Lutchman, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And you know, it was nice and understanding, you know, the mission for... preserving culture.
Yes.
Thank you.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.